This is Akashvani. In the program Insights, now we bring you a discussion on Second Ministerial Conference on Civil Aviation 2024. The participants are Tarun Shukla, aviation expert, and Deeksha Saxena, Akashvani correspondent.
India hosted a two-day Asia-Pacific Ministerial Conference on Civil Aviation on 11th and 12th September. Union Civil Aviation Minister Ram Mohan Naidu was elected as chairman of Asia-Pacific Ministerial Conference on Civil Aviation. To discuss more on the civil aviation sector, we are joined by Mr. Tarun Shukla, a senior journalist who has been covering the sector for a very long time. Mr. Shukla, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Mr. Shukla, to begin with, I would like you to explain how important is this conference and moreover, India is hosting it for the first time. Does it signify the growth of the Indian aviation market globally?
Yes, as you know, the Indian aviation sector has been growing very well over the last few years. It's the fastest growing aviation market in the world right now. We also have a very interesting phenomenon which has played out in the last few years where we were hit by the pandemic and the traffic dip. But India was one of those few markets which picked up really well. And now we are almost back to the pre-COVID levels. So the growth story has attracted almost everybody. The world is looking up to India in terms of growth, in terms of new routes. The number of orders that Indian Airlines have placed in the last 2 years is phenomenal. We have about 1,200 orders already, of which two big orders were placed by Air India and IndiGo. So over the next few years, the growth story is such that we will see many more players coming into the market and a lot of interest globally. This meeting in that sense will help to bring in more people, more delegates and lead to exchanges between them and open new markets for India and for the world.
Mr. Shukla, as you have already mentioned, the aviation sector has been performing really well over the past few years and the middle income households have a healthy competition amongst the low cost carriers. So how is it playing out when it comes to India? Like, are airlines trying to pitch in low price seats so that people can easily travel?
Yes, as you know, about 3% of India takes to air travel compared with about 7-8% in Europe and Asia Pacific. So there's a long runway ahead of us. But I think a lot of growth which has happened over the past few years is in first-time travelers. As you may have noted, during the pandemic, there were several people who would have never traveled by air. They started traveling by planes. And some of them were really from lower middle class and perhaps below. And not everybody has kept taking to air travel of those, that new set which came in, but many have continued. And so the growth that we are seeing over the past few years has been, you know, in these first time travelers or, you know, people who are coming from tier 2 and tier 3 cities. Just to extend your question, the growth that we have seen in terms of Udaan route, the scheme that the government had come up with around 2017, which is basically Ude Desh Ka Aam Nagarik. Almost 4,000 crore has been distributed in that scheme, and this has largely gone to carry those passengers from smaller towns and tier 2, tier 3 towns. And this has allowed those people to buy cheaper tickets because the government is giving them, the aviation ministry has come with a scheme which gives them subsidy, and the subsidy is basically taken not from the government per se, but mostly from the people who are flying in the metro routes like Delhi, Bombay. And so the growth in low-cost airlines, and IndiGo itself is like dominant player right now. It has 62% of the market. And that itself shows how strong the growth is in terms of low-cost carriers and in terms of cheaper, lower ticket seats that should be available in the market. One other important factor to look at is also that LCCs or low-cost carriers may not always be the most cheap. And I think the key thing there for a lot of passengers is to buy their ticket in advance, because low-cost carriers can also be sometimes even more expensive than full-service airlines, which like Air India, which provide all those bells and whistles in terms of free food and other free services. But absolutely, the growth in first-time travelers and has led to a growth in low-cost airlines. And that seems to be the trend which is going to sustain.
Mr. Shukla, your explanation was quite lucid. I would like to understand from you now that this Asia-Pacific conference, how important is it for the region? Because how much this region contribute to the global air traffic? And what future are you seeing for this particular region? Specifically, when we talk about the conference which is being hosted in India for the second time, I would like you to talk about it.
Yes, so the very fact that this conference, which has so many ministerial delegations coming in from several parts of Asia Pacific in Delhi, in Bharat Mandapam, shows that there is a lot of interest in India. That's one. Secondly, this whole region as such contributes to about 35% of air travel. And Asia Pacific, if we remove India for a second, Asia Pacific is obviously much ahead in terms of air travel and in terms of the number of passengers as per the population which travels in air. So the importance of the summit reflects in the overwhelming response it has got. And on the sidelines of this summit, there are several, you know, one-on-one ministerial level conferences and meetings that are taking place. For example, the Singapore government is holding conference with the Indian government, meeting with the Indian government. Similarly, Vietnamese government is holding meetings with the Indian government. And these are countries which are very keen that more flights from their countries come to India and vice versa. Key reason for is that there's a lot of traffic from India that has been going to Southeast Asia, and there are a couple of there are other layers to it. First of all, it's a lot of these countries have very easy visa policy for Indian passengers, unlike Europe and US, where getting visa takes a lot of time, has a lot of paperwork and things like that. So a lot of passengers prefer going to, you know, Southeast Asian countries. Some of them are culturally also very similar to India, and the best part is that they're about 3 to 4 hours away from the Indian subcontinent, which makes it easier for passengers to, you know, do short trips as well, even on weekends or on long weekends. And that seems to be the growing trend. So their mutual interest in Asia Pacific and in India to sort of bolster, you know, the traffic that exists and also boosts investments. I think one of the key pitches that the minister has been giving in this particular summit is investments. So, for example, Singapore Airlines is already an investor in Air India, as we already know. And the Singapore government has been very keen to invest in various other Indian projects in the past as well. So I think there are multiple factors. There's growth, there is the tourism from India, and there is investment and, you know, the air traffic boom that we are seeing as we spoke about.
Mr. Shukla, you also spoke about the investment, and it brings me to my next question. Minister Naidu called for strategic investments in Asia-Pacific aviation infrastructure to accommodate 3.5 billion annual passengers by 2035. I would now like to understand from you what role up to 100% FDI, which is permitted in non-scheduled air transport services, helicopter services and seaplanes under automatic routes is playing in the entire investment scenario.
Yes, so I think investments are very critical to grow India's aviation infrastructure further. And we already have seen interests of various foreign airlines in India. For example, I mentioned the investment by Singapore Airlines in Air India. Similarly, there was investment by AirAsia, which is from Malaysia in India, which was with the AirAsia in the form of AirAsia India, which is now Air India Express. And there have been other similar interests to invest in. You know, there are other ancillary areas, for example, having a maintenance facility for aircraft in India, you know, where there could be investments, or a paint shop and so on and so forth. So the focus of the government is not just to invite investments in airlines, which to a large extent is already there. We already have Air India with foreign investment. We have IndiGo, which is largely held by Indian national and a lot of foreign institutional investors. And we have SpiceJet and Akasa, which are the other two key airlines, which do not have any foreign airline participation at the moment. So there is interest both in airline and in these ancillary players. For example, there could be interest in future in, let's say, a regional airline or in a MRO setup. Or the government has also released a new guidelines for a vertical takeoff planes as well, very recently. And that's the future. By that, we are talking about urban taxis, basically, which can take you from electrically operated, battery operated air taxis, which can take you, let's say, from Noida Airport and bring you from Khan Market to, let's say, Delhi Airport. So these are all these new areas which are worthy of investments. And not to forget, we already have a significant presence of foreign players in our airports. We have Zurich Airport, which is building the Noida Airport. We have Fairfax, which is already present in Bangalore Airport. And we had till recently and Paris Airports, which had stake in Delhi Airport. So, you know, investments in aviation it's a sector which requires a lot of funding. And the kind of funding that is needed is humongous, because we are looking at millions of dollars worth of, you know, airports being built and various facilities being created. And that's why I think the minister has been pitching for more investments from these Asia-Pacific countries into India, because there's obviously growing traffic and mutual understanding between the two regions.
Since you spoke about the new ideas which are finding their way in the aviation sector, I would now like you to talk about about the seaplanes and the seaplane development in India. How are we progressing on this?
Yes, so seaplane has been a little tricky for India. I think we have had in the last 15 or 20 years or so, there have been multiple attempts to make seaplanes a great success story. But there have been several glitches, and I think there have been at least two or three very strong attempts. In fact, Prime Minister Modi has also pushed for, you know, a seaplane service in Ahmedabad a few years back. But somehow that seaplane services have not taken off, as, for example, they do so very well in places like Maldives and other places. The minister in a conference this week also mentioned that they have tried to understand the challenges of the seaplane operators, and they have tried to bring out, they recently brought out new guidelines for seaplane operators and see if they can improve them and take another stab at making seaplanes operations a success. So I think what we are going to see next is seaplane operators use these new guidelines to try and, you know, operate seaplanes and make a success out of it. But I think that is still a very open question, whether it works out or it does not work out. All the operators that you talk to, they see a lot of scope in India for seaplane operations because of the vast coastline that we have, so many islands that we have, and so on and so forth. But whether these new guidelines will help them to make them viably operate those services, we will have to wait and watch. Added sort of support system, if you can call it that, would be the Udaan scheme, which provides direct subsidy to smaller players. So this time seaplane operators can also expect some funding for the people that they are flying from, you know, the Udaan subsidy of 4,000 crore that I talked about, which has gone in already over the last 5 years and will continue for till 2027 and 10 years after that as well.
Mr. Shukla, now I would like to bring your focus to women participation in the aviation workforce. So the minister also said that India aims to increase women's participation in aviation workforce to 25% by 2025. How do you look at this statement, and what steps are being taken to increase the participation of women? My second question is, are we building more training institutes for pilots?
As we speak, for example, since you mentioned flying school, I take that part first. You know, we have about 33 pilot training schools in the country, and the DGCA, which is the aviation regulator, has just ordered an audit of all the schools to ensure that flying becomes even more safe and pilots that go into all these schools, you know, are safe when they fly. There have been some incidents in the recent past. So flying has, you know, become like a very important and a very sort of sought after profession, especially also with the women pilots in the last few years. We are seeing an amazing amount of growth in the number of women cadets who are learning flying in India and abroad. So a huge workforce is already women pilots. Not to forget, there are women engineers, and then the cabin crew has largely always been dominated by women, so that obviously continues. But beyond that, engineering and in terms of the other spheres of aviation, there are many more women who are coming. And I think when the minister makes that statement, he's obviously highlighting the fact that that growth is going to continue, and the government itself will try and bring any policies needed to support that kind of growth. Already, in fact, even without any sort of direct policy as far as women are concerned for in aviation, we already have women in key portfolios, even in the aviation regulator and in aviation ministry. We've also had, women who sort of run companies in aviation that have already gone and listed themselves and profitable companies. I think so those are sort of, less talked about, but also key interesting highlights of the growth in the aviation sector.
Mr. Shukla, thank you so much for the lucid explanation, and thank you so much for sparing your valuable time for this discussion.
Thank you for having me.
You were listening to a discussion on Second Ministerial Conference on Civil Aviation 2024. The participants were Tarun Shukla, aviation expert, and Deeksha Saxena, Akashwani correspondent. This program was produced and presented by the News Services Division of Akashwani. You can listen to it on our mobile app, News on AIR. This program is also available on our YouTube channel, News on AIR Official. You may share your feedback about this program through email at airnsttalks@gmail.com or WhatsApp on 9289094044.